This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live. This 11th day of April, 2024. We begin with the death of an American hero turned bloody killer, O.J. Simpson, dead of cancer at age 76. We have multiple stories about him, including one here from the Epoch Times. Family has announced his death. O.J. Simpson, a former NFL star, was acquitted of murder in one of the highest-profile criminal cases in U.S. history. Died at age 76, his family said Thursday. It ought to add that he was nevertheless convicted of a civil trial of the same effect, bringing about the wrongful death of Nicole Brown Simpson and of Ron Goldman, a former Buffalo Bill running back. Died in Las Vegas on Wednesday. They said, hey, the cause of death was cancer. Turned out to have been prostate cancer. I've had prostate cancer or been so diagnosed myself. My uncle died of prostate cancer. OJ, of course, became famous as a college football player for Southern Cal. It was absolutely remarkable when I was in the Marine Corps serving at the Recruit Depot in San Diego. I came up to Southern California actually shopping for my first car, which would turn out to be an Austin Healey 3000 XL with lamb's wool interior, custom-made wheel wires, wire wheels. I mean, it's just a superb car. And I wound up on the field at USC. And, you know, I don't know really how I happened to be there, but when the team came out, this one fellow seeing me knew I must be there to see him. And he came over and he shook my hand, and it was O.J. Simpson. Now, I mean, decades later, as an assistant professor, I think it was as a full professor at Duluth, I had maybe the only sabbatical I ever had, which is, you know, a year off to do research that's funded by the university, was squandered by watching the O.J. Simpson trial. I watched it day and night. This is when Geraldo Rivera was actually doing something halfway decent with his time by hosting these shows on fringe subjects, and his stuff on O.J. was just sensational. He'd have some of the best attorneys in the country talking about it from every point of view. It was fascinating. I recorded all those shows. I had hundreds of O.J. tapes, VCR tapes. In fact, my wife and my daughter, if I'm, you know, would threaten to tape over my O.J. tapes if I misbehaved. It was funny. I explored this thing from beginning to end, you know, and I'm telling you, here's how it went down. O.J. was absolutely obsessed with Nicole. She was beautiful. They had hit it off great before they hit on bad times. He was absolutely obsessed with her, jealous to the extreme. That night, he went over there high on meth. And it has made me wonder whether O.J. actually used meth when he was playing football. He went over there high on meth. He knew Nicole was setting up for a romantic evening because she would put candles all around in her bathroom area, her bathroom area. She'd have all these candles going on. So he knew something was up. When Ron Goldman showed up at the gate, ostensibly returning glasses Nicole had left behind at the restaurant, the Mezzaluna, and I believe that was their signal that they were having an affair. And the way Nicole would let him know, you know, this is the right time, come on over, return her glasses, she'd leave them behind. They had a furious fight. He put up a tremendous battle against O.J. He was, you know, equipped with a knife and sliced and diced. O.J. would later tell Ron Goldman's father that he had a very courageous son. And, of course, there would have been no reason in the world for him to have said that had he not been there. Nicole, hearing the commotion, came out and was on the steps watching when O.J. finished off Goldman. And he realized he couldn't let her witness. He hit her on the head with the back of his knife. He knocked her unconscious. And because of what she'd seen, he couldn't let her live. He slit her throat. He did it so viciously, it nearly decapitated Nicole. Now, there are theories floating out there. The best, the most interesting by far, is by an attorney who claimed to have done extensive research and that OJ was guilty, but not of murder, blaming the offense on his son, Jason. I have a friend that called me this afternoon to tell me how, you know, he knew Jason had done it. Well, Jason didn't do it. Here's the key. And this was done with such viciousness. Such viciousness. Intensely personal. A woman who'd come up to an intersection, and this is halfway between Nicole and OJ's estate, it was a kind of a minor conflict, a traffic jam, and she said how this white Bronco without the lights on came out in a rush, and the driver started yelling and screaming to get out of the way, and it was OJ. Well, this was actually, this made her the key witness in the whole event. And Marcia Clark, who prosecuted, wouldn't let her testify. Why? Because she had sold her story to a tabloid, probably, I think it was the National Enquirer, for $5,000. Well, hell, that should not have intimidated Marcia. Let the defense try to attack her. But I'm telling you, this is what happened. Not only that, but OJ would later write a book about it. Now, the book was entitled, If I Did It, Confessions of the Killer. You can buy it on Amazon now. But they put the if in little teeny tiny, you couldn't even see it. So the headline was, If I Did It. He actually describes what I pieced together. I mean, there's confirmation right there for the story I've just related. And I am sure we're going to have calls today about OJ. And I'm open to everyone having their opinion, their take. So I just wanted to give you mine. And it's highly ironic that I shook the hand of the man who murdered Ron Goldman and O.J. Simpson. The civil trial, by the way, was conducted far better, more effectively by a brilliant attorney than Marcia Clark had, you know, just fumbled around. By the way, the key event of the trial, of course, was putting on the gloves. Those were O.J.'s gloves. They were skin-tight fitting. So Johnny Cochran said, well, you know, Your Honor, we can't contaminate. He's got to put on latex gloves in order to, before he can try them on. Well, if you put on latex gloves when you're about to try on skin-tight leather gloves, they're not going to fit. And that's where we heard the mantra, you know, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. But it was all contrived. It was all contrived. Just as phony as his trials against AJ, you know, Alex Jones, and by the way, I just watched it, and I'll just tell you, I can prove the whole thing is a hoax just from evidence in the video. The truth versus O.J. Simpson, I mean, the truth anything but. I mean, this is such a sham. This is so shabby. This is so disgusting. Well, we had an early sampler with O.J.'s case. I await your calls. Meanwhile, U.S. worried its drones failed to turn the tide in Ukraine. Well, pretty interesting, a truth seeker. Silicon Valley Skydio has sent hundreds of its most capable UAVs to Ukraine to help fight the Russians, but the technology has not performed well. Details. And this is from the Wall Street Journal. Skydio's drones keep going off course and being lost due to Russian electronic warfare system. The country has gone back to developing and building a new fleet. That's pretty damn interesting. Thus, we also get from Zero Hedge. U.S. drones are expensive and error-prone, so Ukraine turns to China. Drones from American startups are glitchy and expensive, robbing Ukraine to turn to alternatives from China. Most small drones from the U.S. startups have failed to perform in combat. Dashing company hopes that a badge of being battle-tested would bring the startup sale and attention. It's also bad news for the Pentagon, which needs a reliable supply of thousands of small unmanned aircraft. So the Pentagon is distraught over this, too. Meanwhile, we have day 187, roundtable, high-tech genocide from the electronic intifada. Israel is using AI, artificial intelligence, to compile kill lists that define almost anyone in Gaza as an Hamas operative to be targeted for death from the sky. Israel uses these AI systems to justify its indiscriminate bombing, often destroying entire buildings on top of their inhabitants. Let me add, they seem to have an algorithm that says if you're going to, you know, if it's a lower ranking Hamas, then you can kill up to 10 innocent civilians. If it's a higher ranking, up to 100. That's what's going on here. Now, if you have a lot of data, of course, to sort through, then AI, of course, is an excellent way to do it. We have more about it. Oons.com, another story. Automated murder. Israel's AI in Gaza. Zurich. Technological change, while it helps humanity meet the challenges nature imposes upon us, leads to a paradigm shift. It leaves us less capable, not more, of using our intellectual capacities. It diminishes our minds in the long run. We strive to improve ourselves while risking a regression to the Stone Age if our ever more complex, ever more fragile technological infrastructure collapses. Let me just say, that is a brilliant observation. Students today are barely capable of elementary arithmetical operation. Why? Because they just turn to their computers. If they don't have an idea whether a computer answer is roughly right or wrong, of course, they can be completely played by the answer, which might be wildly incorrect. If they have a misplaced decimal, what have you, when they enter the figure, they may be incapable of recognizing the difference between right and wrong. And that's because the idea of artificial intelligence is to have inanimate machines perform tasks that in the past required human minds. But if we can become excessively dependent upon them, we may lose our practical capacity to perform the tasks that we've assigned to the machine. Now, some are more complex. You know, when you're talking about sorting out millions of data points, the human mind may be incapable of doing that, depending on the nature of the data. If it's merely visual, like pixels, you know, a million pixels might fit together perfectly well to constitute an image. But there are many contexts in which AI would be an invaluable assistant. But you got to recognize it should only be viewed as that. And as some of you may know in other contexts, because this is one of my areas of specialization, I've done a huge amount on AI and cognitive science and computer science. I founded an international journal, Minds and Machines, which just took off like a rocket. Some said I had the best editorial board they'd ever seen for any magazine, and I had been very thoughtful about doing that because the quality of a publication is highly dependent upon the quality of its editorial board. Well, it's an interesting situation because while most of the articles I was publishing, and of course you got teams of referees, were supportive of the computational model of the mind, according to which human minds operate on the same principles as digital machines. My own research, however, led me to the opposite conclusion, to wit that these machines were not thinking things. And they did not succeed because human minds function on the basis of signs, things that stand for other things in some respect or other, like a photograph or a statue or a painting stands for that it represents in the photograph or the statue or the painting, or based on cause and effect relationships, smoke, inferring fire, heat, fire, red dots and an elevated temperature, measles, sometimes requiring experts to interpret. And then the symbolic at the higher level, mere habitual association between words and things, like the word horse, H-O-R-S-E, doesn't look like a horse, doesn't run any races and sometimes win them. But by habit, we can associate, and thus you have different natural languages who have different words they associate with similar things. Where the foundation of all this is concepts. Which are constellations of properties in a certain arrangement. That's one of the first words a child acquires is ball. It's round, squishy, you can throw it, chew it, has these various properties. So different languages have different names or labels for the same concepts. In any case, my work demonstrated, because these computers operate on the basis of strings of digits, zeros, ones, high and low voltage, that don't stand for anything for the machine, they are not capable of being thinking things. Plus, human thought transitions go from one type of association of these various sorts to another, you know. Looking out a window in my home in Duluth when we were residing there, which we did for 19 years, was just covered with fog, and that led me to think of a similar representation of nothing but fog on a postcard that said Seattle, which of course is a name habitually associated with Seattle, which is frequently covered with fog, and to think about my son Brett, who lives there, and how his senior thesis for Reed was a play where I and one of my brothers, who was the first to graduate from Santa Cruz with a major in English and psychology, couldn't make heads or tails of it, where my wife's sister thought was the most depressing thing she'd ever read. When he and his mother, we were then divorced, watched, it was an hilarious comedy. I mean, I knew he had a gift for this because he could tell how well it would play on the stage. The point is, I'm talking about association thought transitions that human beings perform based upon their personal histories that involve these semiotic associations, things that look like other things or cause or effects of other things or habitually associated with other things and more. So here I was editing an international journal, most of the articles of which were built within the paradigm of a computational model, where I was, along with John Searle of the University of California, Berkeley, the foremost critics, opponents. Interesting stuff. In any case, these are tasks AI can perform well, the problem being you have a methodology can put to use for the good or can be put to use for the bad. Thus, bodies buried in mass grave at El Shefa Hospital. You go online and there's just a mass of articles about it. The smell of death is everywhere. Bodies exhumed from mass graves at Al-Shifa. Death and ruins that causes shattered Al-Shifa Hospital. First bodies exhumed from mass graves at Al-Shifa Hospital after Israeli siege. It's all there. Meanwhile, we have Lloyd Austin claiming there's no evidence of genocide in Gaza. This is so lunatic. You'd think South Africa never brought the charge. You'd think the International Court of Justice had never reviewed the case. You'd think this guy, Ralph Waite, had not decimated Israel over its violation of the law. Here's Lloyd Ott denying. Unbelievable. Right back. Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream. Waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Rasayana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilaji is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, here we have Kevin Barrett writing, all it would take to stop the genocide is one phone call. He's absolutely right about that. Here's a rumble. Ian Mubarak just said, let you know that after I took down the paywall at the end of January at the behest of my subscribers, and went up, well, that's where Kevin's explaining about his blog. Thus, he's got an interview with Tim Anderson on Press TV, where I used to make a regular appearance until my Sandy Hook event. Kevin is explaining how frustrating it is so many innocent women and children and elderly are being killed at the international community as the international community sits idly by. And I think that's right, idly by. Indeed, I think the frustration is growing and growing and growing. There might have been an attack today by Iran on Israel, but apparently they were following wise counsel and held back because the United States has been trying to bait them into an attack. Israel would like nothing more, hoping to draw the United States into an all-out assault on Iran. Well, it hasn't happened yet, and I hope will not happen. Meanwhile, we thought perhaps that phone call had actually taken place. But here you have antiwar.com reporting. Biden walks back call for Israel to declare a ceasefire in Gaza. He's sticking to his position of linking a temporary ceasefire to a hostage deal and says it's up to Hamas. President Biden Wednesday walked back a call for Israel to declare a 6 to 8 week ceasefire in Gaza, saying the truce must be tied to a hostage deal, and that was up to Hamas. The comments came a day after an interview aired in which Biden appeared to say Israel should unilaterally declare a temporary ceasefire, which would have marked a major shift in policy, according to the Times of Israel. The White House had already walked back the call, saying he's referring to a hostage deal being negotiated. Well, Biden's full of shit. We know that anyway. He's not even the real Biden. But because of this equivocation, Trump is attacking him. Also, antiwar.com, Biden has totally abandoned Israel. Those of us who have hoped that Trump would become more critical of Israel may find this disconcerting. Former President Trump said Wednesday, that would be yesterday, that President Biden has totally abandoned Israel and said any Jewish Americans who vote for Democrats this November should have their heads examined. Trump has been critical of Israel for sharing images and videos of its destruction of Gaza, saying that's why it's losing public and international support. But Trump has also signaled he will strongly support the genocidal campaign against Palestinians in the Strip. This sounds very reminiscent of Henry Kissinger's observation of facts don't matter. All that matters are perceptions. Trump saying the slaughter's okay, but you've mishandled the perception. Bad, bad, bad. I don't like that at all. Meanwhile, Mossad, suspected as U.S. sanctioned Hamas financier, found murdered near Beirut. Does anyone have any doubt about what happened here? Antiwar.com. In 2019, the United States sanctioned the Lebanese man Muhammad Sarour on accusations that he funneled tens of millions from Iran's Quds forces to the Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, yesterday. He was found murdered in a villa in Betmeri near Beirut after having gone missing for nearly a week. Seymour was found shot more than five times in possession of an undisclosed sum of money, which the killers did not take. The immediate suspicion was he was assassinated by Israel's Mossad. Yes, absolutely. Meanwhile, and this relates to what I was momentarily reporting, U.S. thinks Iranian retaliation against Israel is imminent. U.S. and its allies believe Iranian retaliation or the Israeli bombing of Iran's consulate in Syria is imminent, Bloomberg reported Wednesday. Sources told Bloomberg that based on U.S. and Israeli intel, Iran or its allies in the region could launch a major missile and drone attack on military and government targets inside Israel in the coming days. But as I'm saying, it appears wiser heads have prevailed. Get this now, because that's what's coming to the United States. Government vows to increasing deportations as violent crime explodes in Germany. Think about it. You got about untrained, uneducated foreigners who have no skills. What are they going to do? They're going to perform crime. It's exploding in Germany. I'll be right back.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Because that's what we can expect right here in the USA. Remember, these nations are emptying their prisons and their insane asylums and sending them all here to the United States, which is becoming a massive sewer dump. Violent crime has exploded to a 15-year high in Germany. New data shows 41% of crime suspects are foreigners. And that figure is not representative of reality, because millions of migrants have already been naturalized. Overall, there's been a massive 14.5% increase in the number of non-German suspects of violent crime. Well, what else would you expect? I mean, Biden's bringing them here by giving them all these freebies. Well, what happens when the freebies run out? Or maybe the freebies are never going to run out? They're getting benefits overwhelmingly greater than we give to our veterans, our own homeless, our own people in need, our poor. It's a disgrace. Absolute abdication of responsibility, form of treason. They're using our taxpayer money to bring migrants into the United States illegally. We're going to destroy our economy. They're going to wage war against us, and they're commit unlimited crime. Meanwhile, EU officials warn of the dangers of bird flu, lament a lack of immune defenses against it. This sounds like another scamdemic. I wouldn't be, understand what's going on here. We got Mike Adams, this is from Natural News, talking about it. He's been doing a great job for years and years. Well, here's a good one. Bad news for Biden. Independent voters have gone on to politically motivated indictments of Trump. We talk about this all the time. A Democrat election strategy of hurling indictment at Donald Trump, not only failing to get him out of their way, it's actually been backfiring massively, waking up the undecided moderate voters to the reality of the tyrannical Democrat Party. Far left, Democrat voters have been celebrating the corrupt indictment, but it certainly seems they're in the minority. 8 undecided voters in battleground state were recently asked how they felt about the legal attacks against President Trump, and they revealed that the timing of the indictments had convinced them that it's all just politically motivated nonsense. The voters from Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, 3 of the most critical swing states, were questioned as part of a new project designed to feel out how undecided voters are feeling heading into the November. Asked if the indictments would influence their vote, one named Sean said, "I just think they're a political force. If this was such a big deal, we have a policy in America, right to a speedy trial. Why was this brought up in 2020 or 2021? Another voter named Omar, who backed Joe Biden in 2020, said it pretty clear our DOJ has been weaponized against Trump and more. Meanwhile, get this. Trump orders milkshakes for Chick-fil-A customers. In a video, a black supporter declaring, "We support you," goes viral. Donald Trump visited Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, Georgia, Wednesday, creating quite a stir, not just in the restaurant, but across social media as well. The presumptive GOP nominee was seen ordering 30 milkshakes and also some chicken for customers. "I know this menu better than you do," he joked with employees. "I probably know it better than anybody in here." Obviously, he likes Chick-fil-A. The media had a typical knee-jerk reaction, trying to find a negative on a pretty cool story. New York Daily News denounced the visit as an attempt to woo local voters. Left-wing outlet Axios also questioned, is this coming out of his wallet or his campaign funds? Here we got a bit of a video here. And the guy's a political genius, I gotta tell you. I don't think we've ever had anyone who knew how to use marketing, television, you know, the media in general, except they're all orchestrated against him. I mean, it ought to be overwhelming landslide, even across all the media, if they weren't corrupt and controlled by the Zionists, by Israel. Meanwhile, Fox News banned Trump supporters from the air for this ugly reason. Fox News and Donald Trump are still locked in a Cold War, despite Trump being the GOP nominee. Now Trump learned a disturbing truth. Fox has banned Trump supporters for an ugly reason. Here we have Huck's Tara Palmieri reported in her, the Best and the Brightest newsletter, 2016 campaign manager and White House senior counselor Kelly Conway is rejoining the fold. She wrote, "One of the benefits of Trump bringing Conway back into the campaign is that Fox will book her as a surrogate on prime shows. Conway still has Trump's ear and serves as a rare high-level surrogate on Fox." She also wrote, "Trump campaign struggled to book surrogates on Cable News as the network that blacklisted Trump supporters. The truth is, the Trump campaign could use more surrogates, many of whom were blacklisted from the news networks after the 2020 campaign. It wasn't a shock to see CNN and MSNBC ban Trump supporters as those are liberal propaganda outlets courting Democrat viewers who want to help Democrats with election. But in general, this is an aversion by the mainstream player to platform election deniers, an issue that played out most memorably last week with NBC's whirlwind hiring and firing of McDaniel, who is a former head of the RNC. Let me just say, yesterday, my wife has an addiction to MSNBC, and what I like about it is it tells me how the left is spinning the news. Well, Nicole Wallace, who in my opinion is maybe their biggest gun as a smooth propagandist, was interviewing John Bolton. And she thought she'd get out of Bolton just a massive support for Biden and degradation of Trump, but it didn't happen. Bolton was telling Nicole Wallace he thought neither Trump nor Biden were qualified and fit for office. She was appalled. He went on and on explaining how he was going to be voting for a third-party candidate. He was on 20 or 30 minutes. She was very embarrassed. Very embarrassed. I mean, Bolton, I got to give him credit for this. He was speaking his mind. He was being very candid. And while I think he's a despicable guy, I mean, he's a neocon. He's all for wars and, you know, killing people and all this other bullshit. But here he was speaking candidly, and Nicole didn't like it. It was fascinating to watch. It was the single most interesting interview I've ever seen on MSNBC. Meanwhile, after anti-Israel protesters shut down the Senate cafeteria, this was a good thing. I meant to report this yesterday. You got a swift taste of justice. Now, this is from PJ Newsletter, which I've in the past thought was, you know, okay. But in fact, they're just coming out with anti, you know, pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian propaganda. Very disappointing. Because I applaud this protest. Although Democrats and the media refuse to cover, a growing number of progressives and average Americans are turning on Israel. Not only, I'd say average Americans. These radical leftists have joined Israel-hating Arabs to call for the destruction of the Jewish nation. They have staged protests in large cities, including Dearborn, Michigan. They've even accused Democrats like Joe Biden of helping Israel commit genocide. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why they would accuse Democrats like Joe Biden of helping Israel commit genocide. Maybe because he's providing the bombs, the planes, the weapons to commit genocide. Could that be the reason? I mean, PJ Newsletter, give me a break. Meanwhile, and this is a serious piece here, from DEFCON News. The Obama fundamental transformation of our American system of justice has created a variable shithole that has been taken beyond being arbitrary and capricious to having become malicious, pernicious, prejudicial, and predictably corrupt. And listen, based on my own experience with the law in the Circuit Court, the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, and the United States Supreme Court, he's got it right. By the time Douglas Mackey received a prison sentence for posting an anti-Hillary meme, the selectivity and unconstitutionality of our justice system had become frightening and pervasive. Mackey's case raised questions about free speech and over-criminalization, as well as a politicized criminal legal system. The Bill of Rights was written to be broken by the judiciary, right? Wrong. Any and all infringement of the Bill of Rights is unconstitutional. And at some point soon, Douglas McKay will be released and litigated for wrongful litigation for wrongful imprisonment will follow. Let me say, this is a serious piece. I encourage you all. Here's something else also on the right side. Don't play God. Pope Francis takes a stand against gender theory. long a defender of LGBTQ plus rights, the Bishop of Rome has come out and denounced attempts to deny sexual differences between men and women. Much like a seasoned politician, Pope Francis, seemingly anxious about disturbing his 1.3 billion flock, seems to be sitting on the fence when it comes to issues related to LGBTQ plus community. In July 2013, his notorious "Who Am I to Judge" statement was graciously received by the alternative lifestyle community. However, now Francis' outspoken remarks on gender-affirming surgery have provoked heated debate in the United States, where the liberals are staunch supporters of alternative lifestyles. Regarding gender theory, whose scientific coherence is a subject of considerable debate among experts, the church recalls that human life, in all its dimension, both physical and spiritual, is a gift from God. This gift is to be accepted with gratitude and placed in the service of the good. Desiring a personal self-determination, as gender theory prescribes, apart from this fundamental truth that human life is a gift, amounts to a concession to the age-old temptation to make oneself God, entering into competition with the true God of love revealed to us in the gospel. Good statement. Would have liked it to have come years ago. Meanwhile, Americans are shocked by a new official appointed by Biden. Here's what she wants to do to the United States. This is a woman who served, of course, in the Obama administration. Recently, Biden's Secretary of State announced the appointment of Zachla Carr Johnson, a progressive who previously worked for Barack Obama, to serve as state's chief of diversity. Here's what she thinks of America from Fox. The Biden admin's new State Department diversity chief previously called America a failed historic model and demanded the destruction of tradition at every juncture on the altar of anti-racism. Secretary of State Blinken announced last week the appointment of Johnson as her chief diversity inclusion officer. Johnson embraces a feminist leadership style, but one that counters white-centered feminism trends and narratives. In order to make any change, we've literally got to be about the work of dismantling that traditional structure at every juncture. In other words, she's one who favors taking down all the statues, destroying all traditions, even law enforcement in the United States. Meanwhile, turns out libraries all over America have turned into junkie drug and sex zones, and no one cares. Andrew Anglin on Oons.com. You might not know this, but libraries are an awesome place to get high and have sex with strangers in public. That's the nature of the transformation into a utopia. Places that used to be used for education for children have become places for unique individuals to engage in joyful activities. How bad is that? Meanwhile, we have the Babylon Bee, American transition to idiocracy running ahead of schedule. U.S. lawmakers and power brokers across the United States were proud to announce that America's transition to being an idiocracy is currently running far ahead of schedule. The shift has been in progress for several decades, but has made significant advancement in recent years, with many members of Congress now fully on board and operating as the key members of the country's idiotic government. "We become morons much more quickly than anticipated," said Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. "Though it initially seemed like an impossible feat or hard work to turn the United States into a nation governed by total imbeciles, is nearly complete. We've succeeded in weeding out the country's best and brightest and replace them with drooling dolts. There's now light at the end of the tunnel. The dream of a nation run entirely by idiots is within reach." proponents of the transition to idiocracy, cite a recent statement made by Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee regarding the moon and sun as clear evidence the plan is ahead of schedule, but she offered brief comment. What I said is correct. Once you realize that cars are made of cheese and rain is actually falling tears from crying birds, everything else makes sense. At publishing time, Jackson Lee had proposed a plan for NASA to launch a mission to colonize the sun.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, here are five stories confirming the idiocracy we have become, if anyone has any doubt. FBI whistleblower reports FBI taught agents pro-lifers are more dangerous than Islamic terrorists. Here's another. Democrats block amendment to require informing people if they're eating bugs. Democrats don't want you to know. Ann Coulter, the New York Times celebrates a beautiful humanity on death row. She starts talking about some of the cases they're lauding as wonderful people on death row. Here's another. We're going to lose a major war. U.S. Navy deletes photo of ship commander firing a rifle with a backward scope. The scope is mounted backwards. Here's another. If you watch certain YouTube videos and the FBI demanded your Google activity is going to be all over you. I mean, this is all just disgusting. Idiocracy indeed. Meanwhile, teachers' parents fight the Israeli lobby smears against Berkeley schools. This is from the electronic Intifada. Two major Israeli lobby organizations have joined forces to file a federal complaint against the Berkeley Unified School District in California, alleging administrators have ignored severe and persistent targeting of Jewish students over the last 6 months of Israel genocide in Gaza. Mind you, Berkeley's always been a high center for activism, and the kids are fed up with the genocide. So, of course, the Israeli lobbies interpret any criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism. It's absurd, but there it is. Meanwhile, are we winning? Interesting piece by Gregory Hood on how censorship has simply taken control. No more free speech, making it, he suggests, the best and the worst of times. Last but not least, NASA has spotted an object speeding around the moon. It turns out we're not looking at a UFO or an unidentified lunar object, because it's a perfectly human explanation for the apparition. It turns out the lunar reconnaissance orbiter's image was photobombed by the Korean Aerospace Research Institute Korea Pathfinder Lunar Orbiter, otherwise known as Danuri, which is traveling in nearly parallel orbits. If Korea has an object that's traveling around the moon, perhaps they could send back some images showing, in fact, there are no relics whatsoever from the alleged moon landings of the past. I guarantee you, they ain't there. I'll be right back and take your call.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.